We're back Wednesday, the 31st of May, and it's A1 Show, episode number 25.
How are you, lads?
Bungle has aged 1,000 years, and we've got two new mugs.
Two new mugs. They arrived on our way, did they?
They did.
Not bad.
I'm trying to figure out what hand to hold this with, because it has a subscribe kind of written in the middle, which is in a weird place. It's to subscribe to the YouTube channel, so you want to have to hold it like that. It's a bit weird.
I do match it with your hands anyway.
You're alive?
Huh?
You're alive?
No. I'm here.
You got glandular fever.
Dying. I'm rooted. Completely bollocksed, to be honest.
How much work did you get done today?
Productivity levels have been pretty low since I've been back in the house, to be honest. I got up yesterday, had everything lined up, ready to do, ready to get stuck in, and back to bed about an hour later. Wasn't great.
No, sorry, it's under your eyes. We figured out what's going on, didn't you?
My eyes are just like gone an inch further back into my head since I came back from the Ross.
Yeah, you do kind of look like Gollum at the moment.
Yeah, I feel like I'm so fucking absolutely wrecked. I'm not going to lie.
Right, we're not going to talk about the Ross to start off because it's the section of the show everyone wants to hear. So we're going to do a quick recap on international news. Did you see any of the Giro?
I was watching the highlights. It was interesting. Like, to be honest, I was a massive Tom Dumoulin fan. I fucking always say that I'm not going to get sucked into having a cycling major fan again. Or
you love the dopers in cycling. Why is that?
Do you inadvertently call Tom Dumoulin a doper?
But no, I'm just saying you love dopers in cycling. You're a big Wiggins fan.
I was.
You were a big Armstrong fan.
I wasn't. I was a big Ulrich fan.
Sure, you didn't even need a dope test there to know he was late. So right here, I suppose there's no point going back to the whole year.
No, there is.
Big talking points. Dumoulin stopping for a shit.
Yeah.
Nibali.
I want to
Zakarin forced.
Yeah, you can.
Attacked him. Zakarin, Nibali, and then movie star. Was it right?
Like, I think the racing was on. I think the favourites responded to this initially the pace that was going to
set. From the finish.
I know. Well, it was bad form, but. Like, do you wait for everyone every time something goes wrong? Like,
well, do you wait for the Maglia Rosa?
Yeah, arguably. Not everyone. Should, yeah. You shouldn't attack him anyway.
Zakarin should be killed. Like, that wasn't right.
It wasn't great.
Like, movie star maybe continued up the pace, but Zakarin clearly attacked.
Yeah. To be honest, I'm going to put it out there. I don't really like the way Nairo Quintana races.
I can't warrant the shape of his head.
I struggle with that myself. No, but it's more so just his racing style, and I was delighted to see him being beaten, because it's very, like, it's just negative, and he basically responded. He needed to do a lot more in the mountains. It was arguably because he couldn't do much more in the mountains. I knew after that first mountain stage, the big one.
Etna.
Was it Etna? It was after Etna, wasn't it?
Etna was the stalemate.
It's a blockhouse.
Etna was the stalemate. Blockhouse, I think he took 30 seconds.
30 seconds, yeah. Once Dumoulin, like, clawed back and kind of kept it at 30 seconds, I knew that, you know, he's in a shout winning the Giro here.
But then did you watch the stage where Nibali and Quintana just shadowed Dumoulin?
The whole way up, yeah. Really, really negative show. And even Dumoulin was class. You see him throwing in a few digs just to kind of say, listen, fucking have you.
Well, afterwards there was a picture of not Dumoulin squaring up to Quintana, but going up to him afterwards.
Is it
he said, no. Why wouldn't you ride with me?
Yeah, I've seen that.
Quintana just looked at him and blanked him.
Blanked him, yeah, seen that.
We appreciate that from Quintana. Just blank him.
Do you like Tom?
I like Tom, yeah. I like Big Tommy.
Ah, he's brilliant.
I like Big Tom. Yeah. TT. I've a couple of TT stats here. I don't have many, right? It's mainly, you know, post-Ross debrief today, but...
Isn't it a segment from the file? Like...
Yeah, I've got a 4 kilometre section of TT where he averaged 411 watts for 7 minutes, 17 seconds.
How long is the TT?
It's 30k.
Like, I, if he averaged that for that 7 minutes, he'd probably average 410, 411 for the fucking 30k.
Which is not astronomical.
It is his weight.
He's not that light, I don't think.
75 kilos, is he?
Fucking.
74, 73? I don't know what weight he is, to be honest.
I would say he's around that ballpark, 72 for 75 kilos.
Uh-huh.
410, it's like it's better than fucking I can do, but.
It's realistic.
It's very realistic.
Yeah.
That would make you believe he's definitely not lit. Like, some of the figures we've seen for Wiggins' aero record, they're saying he averaged over 500 watts for the aero record. Like, 411 for 30 kilometres is very realistic.
Yeah.
Because he has those average 430.
He's massive here. Yeah, I think back in the day, if I'm not mistaken, David McCann, like, he'd done the top 10 in the world within and around just clearing 400. Might be in around 400, 410 watts. And
now, he has 3 weeks of racing in his legs.
3 weeks of racing in his legs. He's definitely light, massively fatigued at that stage. So yeah, you got to take all those things into account as well. He's not super tapered for a stage fucking right at the end of the
grand. His peak 30 seconds, 5:52. It's hard to read anything into that, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's completely useless stat there, really.
That's in the last kilometer.
Or the first. Yeah. Completely useless piece of trivia there.
Yeah.
So, Dumoulin, rightful winner, Giro.
Absolutely.
Yep.
I'm just putting it out there. It's fucking so much better to watch than the Tour de France.
What about shit talk? What about his strike talk saying Nibali and Quintana deserve to lose their podium?
Oh, he's playing ball, wasn't he?
Yeah, but is that the real champions do that, or is he?
I think he did it. I think they do, yeah. I think it sparks it up a bit. I think it's good.
I'll give it to him. Right, a couple of other things from the Giro. Deignan, did he deserve an LT? Your laptop broke, yeah?
God. It's the same as yourself. Deignan,
does he deserve a tour start?
Yeah, definitely.
Motor, isn't he?
Absolutely hopping off the side, yeah. He looks really lean as well. Really lean.
Sure, look at the fucking state of you after 8 days. He's been racing since the Tour of Ulster started.
Yeah.
And you put it into context, he's been racing since the Tour of Ulster and he finished the same day as us.
You got heavier on the run, so I got lighter.
I fucking did. Now don't worry about me, I'm fucking chucking. Yeah. We'll get to that in a minute. We went up by Diamond's house, did you know that?
Didn't.
And the Ross shows you the prep user down the evening. Why'd you keep opening and closing the broken laptop?
Yeah, it's back on now.
We went up by Diamond's house, the Cat 3 climbing out of Letterkenny.
No.
You was done no prep for your stage, it's fucking.
Why would I be doing prep? We'll get to that in a minute as well.
Right. Summer Hill of United Healthcare. He's left the team.
Oh, I read this yesterday.
For discharging a firearm while out training.
I fucking, to be honest, if I had a gun, I would have discharged it a lot this week as well.
What?
I would have shot that McKenna fella this morning.
So what's the story like?
I would have
shot him. I have, when I was in the States, lads do occasionally go training with a gun in their pocket.
A name and shame, who?
No, I don't know, Reuters, but you can't carry a concealed firearm. And so I've heard the argument when I've been in the States. There's no shame attached to carrying a gun in the States. It's a big controversial topic. They've licensed us to carry concealed firearms. They go out with tube, pump, levers, gun.
Yeah, I know.
That's a fucking true story.
I should have brought
them. Texas are mad.
I'm shot you as well.
But their argument is that road rage, motorist comes along, pulls a weapon on them, they want to be able to protect themselves. And they're licensed to do it. I don't know if Summerhill had a license or what his crack is.
No, he was shooting the gun off. There was an old lady walking her dog around the corner and she heard the fucking shots going off.
Yeah, but you can shoot a gun if you have it. There's no law against shooting a gun.
Surely there is in an urban area where there's houses.
Yeah, see, that's maybe where the offence is.
He said that he didn't realise, but he was on it anyway, didn't he?
Discharging the firearm in a reckless manner or something, maybe. But if he's just shooting in the woods and he's licensed to carry it, I don't know why you quit the day.
Yeah, there's houses around.
Was there houses around?
Supposedly, yeah. He didn't realise there was houses in the area.
Another thing that looks like you might have been a victim of it, Matteo Trentin was attacked by a bear without training.
Yeah.
It looks like it might happen to you and Ross.
Yeah, he hit a bear, didn't he? I read that to one.
Yeah,
well.
It was like that fucking scene Leonardo DiCaprio in Revenant.
No, he said the bear, after he hit the bear decided not to fucking attack him afterwards. He was lucky.
That's a Jens Voigt story.
Bad enough getting hit, like hitting the bear on the descent, isn't it? Imagine the bear then mauled you.
Castle hit a sheep they were trying one day. Not really the same.
I hit a chicken on the same road.
Yeah, you did, yeah. We were fucking ravaging through your man's livestock for a while there. The chicken and the sheep dead. The same, I think it was Irvine's sister-in-law. It was her livestock you were ravaging.
Was it?
Yeah. Killed the sheep and the chicken.
Couldn't go back. Chicken. Couldn't go back.
Right, any other? Oh, actually, before we move on to that, Dumoulin is back race again. I think it's starting on, let me see when it's starting. I think it's starting.
Is this June, Hammer race?
June 2nd, the Hammer Series.
I started reading about it and I started nodding off.
You haven't got the attention span to figure out how this works.
Have I not?
No chance. So there's three different stages. So you're allowed to bring, I have to make up some of this stuff. I think you're allowed to bring 7 riders and 5 compete at one stage, or else 9 and 7 compete or whatever. You don't have to use a full complement to your squad on every day. So there's 3 stages, but it's not a force across the finish line wins job like a typical race. So there's 1 sprint stage at the start, there's 1 climbing stage, and then there's 1 stage called the chase.
So it works off points then?
So you get points in the first 2 stages, effectively, and then your points from the first 2 stages give you your seeding for the final stage, which is like a team time trial. It's like a handicap team time trial. So if you've accumulated no points, you've a massive fucking lead to make up. If you've accumulated a load of points, you have a buffer against the other teams.
That's deadly.
It's a pretty cool idea.
Sounds cool, yeah.
Yeah,
it's interesting to see how it rolls. Is it on TV?
I don't know if it's on TV. I'm sure it's on fucking online somewhere. But you'd imagine the boys are similar to the post tour crits. I'd imagine they're fucking getting a few quid for turning up.
Oh, yeah.
Doing a little fresh off the.
See, Nibali won a post. Post Euro crit, didn't he?
Post Euro crit. Didn't even know they were on.
Yeah.
But it gives me the tech nails there. 51 bikes. You were out reviewing them yesterday. We don't have a sheet for tech nails still. Prints are still on the hop.
Tech nails.
You were reviewing Ronan McLaughlin's 51 bike yesterday?
Yeah, it was I couldn't obviously ride the bike because it's a custom bike. It's customly built for Ronan McLaughlin, who's a foot smaller than me.
Twice the manager, but a foot smaller.
Some might argue that, yeah. He was twice the man in Ross, anyway. The top tube on the bike, actually, it's I was only rolling around Hoth. We'd done the bike review in the local town up the road. Feels really, really stiff.
Looks, not the paint job's rank.
Wouldn't be my cup of tea, and I actually said that in the review. I'm not a fan of the paint job. It's
the names on it's cool. The names of all the previous Irish Ross winners is cool. I'd be a fan of that now.
Yeah, you one of them, yeah.
Yeah, no, a bit of history. You have no history or culture about you.
Now, I rode the bike around, really long top tube on it. Like his reach is fucking like the same as mine, but his saddle height's really, really
What's the story with 51? Because I don't know that about
it. Yeah, so 51 was set up, obviously, by Aidan Duff, Irish fella. He basically, they found a factory, which took a very long time, talking to the guy that was with them yesterday, representative from 51 yesterday. So they found a place that they are a master frame builder in southern Germany, I think it was. So they found who they wanted to build the bike and the machinery they wanted to use. But they basically took that back and now it's done in Dublin, which is really cool.
Class. Where is it?
So it's
going out to the factory?
It's over on the M50 somewhere, just off the M50, I think.
Ah, fuck that.
So we have to go and check it out. But so they take you through. The idea is that they, which I thought was really cool. So if you think back, like your favourite bikes over the years, you've always had shit bikes.
I've never had a good bike.
Never had a good bike. So like, but most people.
Planet X is my best one I've had.
Is it?
Probably is.
Is it, yeah?
Look, yeah.
It's better than that Bose thing we had in France.
The bottom brackets used to fall out of the
road. Yeah, like, so basically what they do is they talk to you about what kind of characteristics of a bike that you'd like or what. Say you had two bikes years ago, but you liked this part and you didn't like that part. And they marry that all into whatever bike you want, all those characteristics. They send you to get a bike fit either local or someone that they recommend to get the bike fit, receive all the bike measurements, and then they start the process. You can pick whatever you like in regards to, so I asked, like, I've got my knees come in when I pedal, so I asked, could I get like a narrower top tube so my knees don't clear there, that they clear the top tube? No problem.
What do you mean no problem? You're not getting one. The problem is you don't have any money.
Yeah, and that's one thing that we did actually talk about in the review yesterday, the fucking price of these things.
How much?
$5,000.
Frame
set, custom job, envy fork. They're envy tubing, actually. It's pretty cool. It's actually the same process as steel tubing. It's what's it called? Is it called butt to butt? I don't know. Something like that. Tube to tube. So it's not like, it doesn't go into a carbon mold. They actually tube the tube. It's so stronger and stiffer at every kind of cross point in the frame.
I heard you talking yesterday, yapping. 51 bikes used to be the number from, is it Eddie Merckx?
Nice. Bit of knowledge there.
When you won the tour?
I didn't realise that. That's a bit of knowledge. Yeah, 51 is supposedly a lucky number in the Tour de France, and they leave it for someone that's kind of got a bit of panache about them. So it's been a lucky number. I think there was 4 out of 9 Tour de France winners, and one of them was Merckx back in the day. 60s maybe, is that right?
Knowledge. So are you getting a 51 bike?
I would love one at some stage. It's a retirement bike. I couldn't be riding around on one of them things.
Are you good? You're retired. You're doing after the roster. You're not that now.
No, it's like they're a really nice bike. Again, the paint job thing, I'd have to, like Ron said, that he kind of didn't know where to go and didn't want to spend too long picking the paint job. He should have spent longer because it's cack. Just putting that out there. It's not my cup of tea.
Yeah, I think Ron made a bollocks of a nice bike, if you ask me.
Basically,
the 51 bike looks sweet.
Yeah, no, hold on.
I made a fucking paint job. He showed shite bars on it and the stem he put on it.
Stupid.
They're all his bits.
I think like the frame itself, the actual geometry and the look of the frame looks real traditional. It looks like a really nice bike. And then he put this fucking mad fucking Fini Fantini fucking paint job on it. It looks muck.
It gives me epilepsy or something.
He got it from, what was it, Northern Lights?
It's too busy because the frame's very traditional looking.
That's
what. And then this is like rocking everywhere.
Yeah, horses. But that's the idea. It's the job of customizable, isn't it? You can get whatever you want.
We should get all your little slogans on Whopper on the top shelf.
Yeah, definitely should. Lurky was trying to be funny yesterday. He said you get a traffic cone fucking printed on the top.
Yeah, you get a traffic cone, a cement mixer, all the different shit you hit. Could be a magical bike.
I'll hit you now in a minute. I'll get your head on the top tube.
Domestic news. Not much going on in the domestic news. Zippy Doyle won Mondello last night. Eugene Morta second. Colin Bracken third. I don't want to say Mondello and Barlow were the two softest races of the year, but all the Ross lads are wrecked. So no one turning up. But you still can only beat what's there.
I've seen Robin Kelly celebrating on the race on Facebook this morning, club race somewhere.
Didn't see that.
Yeah, Robin enjoying himself.
Barrow GP was on the weekend. Marky Mark, Mark O'Callaghan, winning from Dermot Radford. And JP Morphy, a very good, promising young rider from Morphy Surveyors. So, there you go. Other domestic news I would like to touch. An article that appeared in the Irish Times yesterday advocating for speed limits on...
This is very close. This is very close to home, obviously, as well, for people that are not around here watching this video. The promenade is literally 800 metres down the road.
I'd say 100, I'd say.
150 metres. Ah, it's not.
Not far.
That's a good 500 metres, to be honest.
Myself and my husband were walking along the prom with my toddler, is the quote that I picked out. They were walking along the bike path and they're complaining about the speed of professionally dressed cyclists going past them. So you're walking along the fucking bike path. What are you doing walking on the bike path?
Yeah. I don't know.
Now, the kid shouldn't have been hit. The kid wasn't hit, I don't think.
No, it wasn't, but the cyclist abused the kid, supposedly.
Abused the parents, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I've actually, to be honest, actually, something actually just triggered there in my head. I was hit by, I was going down that bike path one time. It was night time, the lights and all on. And a kid, there was a group of kids, there was adults there as well, some sort of meeting or a congregation of some sort. And a kid ran across with a steel scooter. And I ran over the back of the scooter, like, and the same thing, I reacted.
This isn't you crashing again, is it?
No, I didn't crash.
You put this on the bike,
it up.
Scooter.
It's like, fucking, I definitely got kept it up. Anyway, it was lethal. And I could have smacked the kid out, like, it scared the shit out of me. And my natural reaction was to turn around and fucking give out to the parents, like, as if, like, it's like running across a road. It's the same thing.
Lads are riding along there, even at 25k an hour.
It's
hard to stop, like.
Speed limit.
It's nonsense, right?
I do get a lot of Strava junkies going along there, that head down on a fucking triathlon bike, going absolutely nuts.
Yeah, that's not right either. That's not right either.
No.
Listen.
Happy meeting.
Yep, we're getting onto the Ross, because it's where the action's at. It's what everyone wants to know about. We are going to belt through some questions for the Ross, but going to hit you with some questions. What was the best domestic performance of the week in the Ross?
Best domestic performance of the week. You hit me with yours first. Jog me memory.
Dara Feely. Consistent all week.
Dara was exceptional this week, yeah. And he looks in great, Nick.
Yep. Dara Feely and Daryl Mahoney fourth on stage 7, the wet stage 7.
I'm going to go throw on one in, actually. A bit of respect here. Eugene Moriarty. I was very impressed with Eugene this week. I got to see exactly where he was in the bunch, because there was 20 spots behind him all the time.
Yeah, he's well able to ride the bunch. I'll give you that one.
Rode the bunch well, and for like a man in his 40s, like 20 Rosses, I was just really impressed by the way he handled himself.
And I'm throwing Mark Flavin into the mix as well.
That was a super ride. Mark,
Mark into the break with the pros. Mark's a carpenter, if I remember, carpenter, plasterer. Family man, busy man. I used to coach him myself, so I know how little training Mark has available, little training time. So to get in the break, the pros on the stage in Memorial Gap. Now we tore a fuck out. We didn't see him for the rest of the week. But sure, look. International performance of the week.
International performance of the week. I don't even know his name. That Aussie, did you see it? It looks like it was fast forward going up Memorial. He went up Memorial, but it was 6 times quicker than I did.
Yeah, I'll concur on that one. Yeah. Hardest 5 minutes of the race.
I fucking couldn't pick 5 minutes. They were all the same. Every 5 minutes was the same as the previous 5 minutes.
I'm going to say the 5 minutes when Cameron Moyer hit the front on stage 7 to bring back a break. My ears popped. I thought I got tinnitus.
No. No, for me, it was after I changed the shoe on stage 1. And stage 1 was horrible for me because I changed the shoe right before Kilcock. And that's like 15k from my family house. So that whole road was parallel to my mum and dad's house, which is over here. And I was chasing there going, what the fuck am I doing here? Getting fisted in the cars for ages. It took me about 50k to get back on.
Were you on the back of a car or were you chasing?
Chasing.
You weren't, your fuck, don't be lying.
I was getting reamered.
You weren't chasing without being on the back of a car.
Everyone's on the back of a car.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying to you.
You're
on the back of a car.
You're out the shop getting your shoes changed.
Yeah, but sure, that's, we all know now what's acceptable and what's not.
We do. And then what I done was complete, like...
Were you dropped?
Gonna, like, this is going to come... This
were you dropped or were you changing your shoe?
My shoe came off.
Oh, you know, I'll give you that then. If you're... if your shoe came off, I'll allow you to be restored to the place you were in before your shoe came
off. I was in the bunch.
Yeah, so you're fair enough. You're fair game.
I was fair. You can calm yourself down.
There were plenty of days you weren't fair game.
I was fair game.
Every day?
What, out in the back? Out the back?
Yeah.
One day now.
You cheap bastard. We'll get to that.
You were definitely better up behind cars as well.
Best team performance of the week.
Team performance?
Yeah.
DID. Motor and they were.
DID weren't even in the fucking race.
What are they called?
DID, that's where.
DID Electrical.
Funny.
What are they called?
Why are they fucking clear? There's no DID in the race.
They're rivals. They took the fucking county jersey off you. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, Team Motorpace and Strada.
Strada. DID, though. I know it was DID.
DID. There's no DID riders there.
They used to be.
Funniest moment of the race.
Funniest moment of the race was on stage one when I got back on over the climb, physically fine, and then I started cramping. And Gary McElroy and stuff were looking at me as if to say, like, what's wrong with Bugle? Like, this bunch is going quite easy here. And kept on opening because I literally couldn't turn the fucking pedals.
On stage one.
Stage one. Actually, arguably funnier than that was in stage two. I cramped in a neutralizer. I bloody hopped the curb and fucking cramped lit up.
Oh, you heard Paddy Clark coming up the bunch asking Richie Mays to get away from him, shouting, you're a danger, get away from me, get away from me. Paddy Clark's topped.
Word.
Biggest disappointment of the week.
That's a bit harsh, isn't it?
No, I'm not particularly a rider. It could have been a performance by you or a stage that you missed, whatever. I'm going to say for me, I was pissed not to be in the break on stage 8. It was a soft break to get into. There wasn't many lads to watch. There was 4 on post.
Stage 7, the wet day. I was disappointed myself. I got better as the week went on. I hadn't got the bottle at the start.
So stage 7 split after about 10k into a group of 60 and 90, I'd say. 90 in your group or so?
There was a good 80, 70, 80 lads in it anyway.
So it basically split fucking halfway the bunch. It nearly split along the fucking elite amateur / pro.
Pretty much.
Back to amateur.
Straight down the middle, yeah. And I was one of the last people not to be in that front group, and I should have been in it.
Tragic.
It was tragic. I actually.
There's no crack up there anyway.
I'm glad I wasn't in it.
There was no crack. That was the day.
Anyway, I do this thing, I don't know if anyone else does it, but I was about 2 meters off the back of the group going over the top, and I could see it starting to level out, and I was like, I've got another minute here in me, right? I'm going to give it another socks for another minute. So I put my head down, I was looking at the Garmin, 1 minute, it's all I have. I was doing it with 600 watts, I'm not going to, it felt like 600 watts anyway. I was fucking swinging, went by a load of lads on the road, and it's like, it has to stop, the elastic has to break here somewhere, and it was my elastic. Just fucking smoke coming out of my ears.
Dumb. Yeah, no, it was hard. I was well positioned. I was like 10th wheel and it was still fucking hard.
Do you know, years ago, maybe because my level was higher, but that when I was doing that minute, it always at some stage stopped and you just roll back in.
It probably stalled like 30 seconds after you quit.
Yeah, I was just having off the 30 seconds.
Like, that's the difference at every level. It stalls, but it's just, when does it stall?
Yeah.
You were just the wrong side of the stall. It was hard up front all day, but we didn't stop racing all day that day.
Yeah, it was more, to be honest, that day now was where what it'll take a long time for me to get back into when you just jump into a race at that level was, you know, the bottle. You know, and I was talking to Sean Lacey with it about it as well. Like, Sean was down the back of me on stage. It's just like, you know, some of them lads are up there fucking tapped.
Yeah, there's a few lads that are tapped. There's a lot of good boy handlers up there. There's a lot
of good boy handlers, but a lot of tapped lads.
Yeah.
No fear, lads.
You know, yeah, there's no fear in some of them, but
I don't trust everyone that's up there, put it that
way. I was happy to be on the front that day. We were chasing from
you
the
have
day.
To be there. You're either on the front or you're shitting yourself at the back. And you're putting, yeah, like, it's in everybody else's hands.
So well, I was forced away. I don't throw a lot of the corners.
And to be honest, I'm going to put it out there. It was a very safe Ross.
Yeah, it was.
There was no crashes, really.
Nah, there was a few on the force, you guys. Yeah. Down the back.
My shoes got torn off.
Yeah, you probably caused most of them down there. But the biggest thread in the race.
I felt like it. I was definitely, like, I'm going to put it out there, I was definitely the least, relatively, I was the least fit person in the race.
Your sunglasses were shocking, Fred, so I'm giving you Fred of the week. You look like you're blind wearing them.
Yeah, Morgan, like, in fairness, they covered absolutely everything. Fucking bit of a shout out to Planet X for that, actually. They covered everything. For someone that had no training going in, fucking glasses, I actually got snared. Real sunny day. Can't remember where I was, but where did we get ready? Right beside the beach. Anyway, stuck on me Oakleys anyway, Morgan fucking caught me. I'm going to get them off.
So. Is the Ross getting harder?
Wasn't great. bias.
I'd say definitely not. This was a question of sport by your man's reference article from Aidan Crowley last year, where he's talking about the Ross is getting harder and it's too hard for full time, for it's too hard for Irish County riders. Like,
I'm an advocate that it's not too hard. It's like, obviously, it's a bit, not. It's a bit biased, like, obviously, that I've raced at that level before, but you shouldn't have been able to get around on what I got around on. If it was, like, if that was a race in France or any kind of, not even a UCI level, if that was an amateur Coupe de France, I would have got fucking my ass handed to me in the first 10k.
It's definitely not too hard. Like, you just, as long as you're fucking training, any bit of training, it's grand. So it's the difference, you need experience and training.
It is the marry between the both, yeah. Definitely, like when I did get dropped sometimes or I ended up back, like, it, you have to know what to do. And if you haven't been there before, it would have been a lot harder for me.
But, like, say I didn't race from Visit Nina till Tour of Ulster this year. Zero races from between Visit Nina and Tour of Ulster. That's a good chunk of the early half of the season.
But you've been at a Ross level for 10 years.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying. It's the marriage between experience and training that'll get you there. One or the other.
Like what I said to you before was, I don't think I would have got through the race without that experience that I previously had with my current.
There is lads that were way stronger than you that finished way, way behind you.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Do you know, we might need to do two shows on the Ross Buggle. We've a lot of questions on it that we're not going to get through here.
Sure.
Unless we make this into a bumper show, which we can't do today. We'll Buggle do the Ross again next year, / we'll Buggle ever ride a bike again.
And I bet we'll be missus. She reckons I'll do it. 500 quid, definitely doing it next year. I took the bet, so I'm definitely not doing it.
I'd say you'll definitely do it. Hardest stage on the Ross this year?
The longest stage.
That was the one between Mamore and Glengesh, stage 5.
That was the hurdle for me. Once I got through that day and I calmed down for about 3 hours after stage, I fell asleep on my bed in my kit after that stage.
That's not great. Not a great look.
No.
With
those sunglasses on.
Stage 3, I was disappointed not to get a bit more out of it in the break that day. I didn't back myself enough, definitely. I think that's where the lack of racing at that level haunted me. Like, I didn't have 160k racing in a break done this year against that lads that level, so I wasn't sure if I was actually going to get to the finish, so I just didn't back myself enough. I think that's where the likes of Lorkey in that group, he backs himself a bit more because he's been racing at that level 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago.
Yeah, give me that.
Last one, what's the differences to step up from where you were at in the week to get to the level I was at, for me to get to the level where Lorkey's at? What's the difference, and is it worth getting there?
See, again, this for me is like, we've talked about this off air for fucking last 3 days and argued about it. It is biased because I have been where you are and I have been where Lurkey is, arguably, as well. So, like, I know what it is, and while you're there, it's everything. But for me now, like I haven't ridden many Sundays. I haven't raced really this year, and I didn't do enough training really to get around it. Like, and not, you know, like, I didn't really.
So nearly the cost for you to get from where you are to where I am, is what I can see, is it's the weekends. You need to do more racing on a Sunday.
Yeah.
So you're giving up
day. I needed to do some form of a winter. I didn't really train over the winter with studies and all that kind of stuff. And I haven't raced this year. If I had kept my hand in the pot with some of the winter spins and raced when the season actually started, I think I would have gotten around the Ross in a similar fashion to you.
But then for me to get from where I am to Sean's levels, complete lifestyle overall.
Yeah, that's where the decisions you have to make get so much bigger for a much, much, much smaller gain. Like, Sean was like, you know, he wasn't million miles ahead of where you were last week, million miles. But the difference in getting to where Sean was is huge. Like, it's such an overhaul.
It's no job. It's no girlfriend.
You're done. Completely done.
It's no fucking social life. It's a full season of traveling and racing. Like, I think the middle ground is where you could race a little bit more and easily get to where I am, but for me or you to take the step to where Sean is, it's not
going to happen.
Not somewhere I want to ever go again.
No.
No interest. Will we do another Ross special show next day, Friday?
There's definitely more. If there's actually any questions for
there's
you,
there's loads questions here, like typical day Glengesh, or
like, you know, I got loads of stuff, people asking me stuff as well, like comparing it to what it was like when I was with a bigger team and all that kind of stuff. So if you have any more questions actually that we haven't covered in this show, make sure you get in touch with us for the next one, I'd say.
Yeah, let's do one more on the Ross while we're still in the Ross hype. We'll wrap it up there. Buggle needs to get to the doctor, sort out the glandular fever, and get to bed by 7 o'clock tonight in order to function tomorrow. Buggle, you got an absolute whipping all week, but it's good to have you back.
Emotional roller coaster.
Thanks for watching, lads.